You're listening to The Bridge Loud in Chicago on Q Rock 100.7 FM and online worldwide via thebridgechicago.com. Hey, this is Jed Brewer. Here's tonight's question. My friend is a recovering addict and he works nonstop. He says that he's afraid he'll just start using again if he stops. Let's get into it.
Here on The Bridge Loud, my name is Matt King. Once again, I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
Let's go to work.
And Jed Brewer.
Oh, I love going to work. It's my favorite.
You're a filthy liar, Jed Brewer. We are continuing to answer questions about work. We had a good one last week, and it triggered a follow-up question, which we are very fond of. If you ever have feel like you hear someone on the show and you want to follow up, you can always do that at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. This person wrote in and said, my friend is a recovering addict, and he works nonstop. He has three jobs. He says he's afraid he'll just start using again if he stops. Help? I put the question mark after help, so I want to be true to the text.
You did it.
Yeah. And Jed, maybe you can start us off on this. We actually do a whole lot of this. Some things we don't know a lot about. This we know a lot about.
Yes.
Working with recovering addicts. So maybe you can take us inside that idea of it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's maybe not the healthiest thing, right?
Sure, absolutely. When you've got a life with a lot of problems in it, whether they look to the outside world like a lot of problems or not, doesn't make any difference. You got a lot of problems. One of the things that you're going to want is something that lets you escape from those problems. And that makes perfect sense. You want a break. And a little bit of that can be a very good thing. You know, my life's tough. It's difficult. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this video game for a few minutes and just forget about stuff for a while.
Right.
That's good. That's lovely. It's fantastic. You know, I'm going to go for a nice run and clear my head. Beautiful. Wonderful. But when something goes from something that's, you know, a break that lets us kind of regroup and refire to something where we're just avoiding thinking about our problems perpetually. I'm just going to pretend they're not there for days and weeks and months at a time. Now it's become unhealthy. And it turns out, even though in the short term it can feel better because we're not thinking about our problems, ultimately it makes our problems worse is the way that always works. And it turns out people can do that with alcohol and drugs, but they can actually do that with work too. Work or school or all kinds of stuff that we would think would be positive. You can actually use that as a way to avoid your problems.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And Glenn, I'd love to get you to pick us up there. Again, I think one of the things that Jed's pointing out is escape can be healthy.
Right.
If you use it healthily, but maybe if you're someone like a recovering addict, you're almost afraid of that because you're used to escaping in very unhealthy ways.
That's right. Yeah, I think the thing that we're looking for and that we're talking about here is a coping mechanism. When you're involved in addiction, you're using that thing that you're addicted to cope with life.
Yeah.
It's not wrong to have a coping mechanism because you do need to cope. Coping's important. If you don't do that, you lose your mind. For me, that might be putting on AC/DC, Back in Black, full volume, going nuts, rocking out.
Don't suck up to the rock and roll people just run the radio.
Hey, let me tell you what, you can check my Spotify account. It's there. But here's the thing is that what that does is it allows me to just get to a better place mentally. There's a lot of stuff like that that's reasonable, it's healthy, it's good. As Jed was suggesting, small doses, that stuff can be helpful and effective. But what we want to do is looking at a point where it goes from being a coping mechanism to being a problem that throws our life out of balance.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think the analogy I would use on this is it's good to have a vacation.
Yes.
To take that back to work. I worked hard and I saved up a little money. I'm going to the beach or I'm going to Europe or whatever it is or just going out of town. It's a nice vacation to say, I've had it. I'm taking everything. I will live in the woods now.
Right.
I'm a woods guy.
Yeah.
That's considerably less healthy because you're not putting that in the context of your life, which it's easy to do, but we have to help someone develop the skills to do that. We'll come back and talk more about that on The Bridge Loud. Here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
Maybe it is time for me to go live in the woods.
Give a shot.
Yeah.
You start with a van down by the river.
Absolutely.
So joining us, Jed Brewer.
Got to take that deep woods off with you.
Yeah.
A really important travel accessory.
Some of us grew up in areas of the country where that was a critical part of any summer journey.
I might just kick myself with mud like Arnold did when he was fighting the Predator. Work for him, work for me.
Sure. That's good. It's good.
There's a lot of Predator quotes in my head now, and not a single one of them is appropriate, so we're going to push on.
I overstand.
We're continuing to answer a question that came into the bridge loud at gmail.com, where you are welcome to write in your question anytime you want. It says, my friend is a recovering addict, and he works nonstop. He has 3 jobs. He says that he's afraid he'll just start using again if he stops. Please help. And, Jed, let me get you to start us off on this one, because in the last segment we talked about maybe an unhealthy desire to escape that your friend may rightfully not want to give into.
Yeah.
But part of the, what's part of the positive answer on that? If we're not looking for escapism, what do we need to replace that with?
It's a great question. Folks that are in addiction recovery and they're doing well with it, the phrase that they would use is that they face life on life's terms. Here's what they mean when they say that. When they have a problem, they look that problem in the eye, they acknowledge that it's going on, they acknowledge what their part in it is, and then they begin to take small, probably imperfect, but consistent steps to do something about that problem. So let's say, for example, that you wake up tomorrow and you realize, man, I've gotten pretty heavy. You know, that's kind of an issue for me. Well, what would be facing life on life's terms would be to say, well, look, I'm not going to be skinny the day after tomorrow.
Right.
But I can start eating a little bit better, and I can go for a walk. I can do that today. I can do that tomorrow. I can do the day after tomorrow. And that will get me somewhere, and that's good, and I can accept that. That's facing life on life's terms. And the more that we do that, that's how we build a healthy life.
Absolutely right. And Glenn, I'd love to get you to give some expertise on this, because as the person whose friend is maybe needing to face life on life's terms, there's a healthy way to help them in that, which may be offering some encouragement. There's also an unhealthy way to help them in that, which is trying to point out the things you think they need to face head on. Right. So how do we do this without getting punched?
Well, that's an important thing. I focus on that a lot. We work with a lot of inmates, and not getting punched is a very real concern. But I think it really is about zeroing in on the fact that giving people a sense you can face these things.
Yes.
You don't have to be in an avoidance mentality, that this isn't an overwhelming thing, this isn't a devastating thing, I'll help you, we'll go on the internet, we'll look up how to fix it.
We'll do it together.
We'll do it together. If you can help give people confidence that they can face life on life's terms and they can knock out their problems, they can look at all the rest of the problems they have and have a sense of confidence that it can be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's so well put. This is not about fixing your friend's thinking in a way. This is about, as Jed pointed out, this is someone who is approaching this in a healthy way is going to take small, imperfect steps, but day after day. And I think our role as the friend, as the relative, as the pastor, whatever, is to help them see that they can do that, not to point out ways in which they are failing at doing that, which lands you in the punch zone, which we would love you all to avoid.
Yes.
And we'll be back with more right here on The Bridge Loud.
Bridge Loud.
We're back to here on the Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
I know how to stay out of the punch zone. I've been doing it for 30 years.
You invented the idea of not being in the punch zone.
That's right.
Also joining us, Jed Brewer.
That song from Top Gun is going through my head right now, but it's punch zone instead of danger zone.
Sure. Right into the punch zone.
Exactly right, yeah.
What's Kenny Loggins doing these days? Can we commission that?
he needs the money.
There's no doubt. I think he'd just be excited to be part of the project.
Absolutely.
That may hurt our cred with the Q-Rock people, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, Kenny, answer your question, not directly about the punch zone, but in many ways indirectly about that. This is a question that came into the bridgeloud at gmail.com that says, my friend is a recovering addict and he works nonstop. He has 3 jobs. He says that he's afraid he'll start using again if he stops. Help. So, Jed, let me just start us off here. We talked about the escapism in the first segment and how that can definitely be an unhealthy thing. You can even use healthy things to do that, which overworking may be. What's the difference between what we're talking about with being encouraging and taking a break and having some fun? How do we differentiate that from this unhealthy escapism?
It's a great question. It's all proportion. So, as you said, if you take a vacation, you work all year, take a vacation, that's great. If you move to the woods, that's less great. You know, if you decide I'm going to eat healthy and you have a little piece of chocolate, you know, with your dinner as a dessert, that's great. If you eat healthy and then you have an entire chocolate pie, that is less great. So there's
but it feels great.
Well, in the moment,
for a while.
Yes. For a while. It's proportion. Man, and one of the things about proportion is whenever we get out of proportion, we're ignoring other needs. We're kind of overdoing one need that we have at the expense of other needs that we have. Your friend needs rest. He needs a break. He also needs help with his sobriety. Those are things he needs. Overwork, because it's out of proportion, it's keeping him from meeting his need for rest and his need for encouragement with his sobriety. And that's a big part of why it becomes a problem.
Absolutely right. And Glenn, love you two to pick us up there. What are the things, practical things that we, as someone who cares for someone who is in addiction recovery and is trying to figure out a way to do that in a healthy way, what are some things we can help them do, some resources we can point them towards?
Well, I'd add one little thing to what Jed was saying there, that you need the work element to that, you need the rest element of that, and getting help as part of that rest to kind of mentally wind down for what you're doing. But you also need fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's life needs a certain amount of fun. It's really critical for people in recovery to know how to, you know, work hard, but have that ability to play hard as well, to get out, do things that are mentally restful, but are maybe giving you a little bit of exercise, maybe giving your brain something else to do. For me, I like going to a ball game, just something else for me to engage in. I find it relaxing. I find it enjoyable. I hang out with my friends. You get to yell at the umpire. Everything's great about that. But helping people find things that they can do for fun is often really important. Addicts lead very, very, very boring lives, and finding that excitement is really important for them.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think that ties exactly into what we're talking about. In our experience, a lot of addicts tend to think that, well, before I had lots of fun.
Yeah.
How fun was it really?
Yep.
But so now I need to be serious and buttoned down and straight-laced. And that's one of those things we want to steer them off. And another way you can do that, if you are not someone who's dealt with addiction, you don't think you know that world, there are things like AA and NA and Celebrate Recovery and groups we've talked about before that are full of people who are further along on this journey who can be a good example for your friend. And this stuff we're talking about is exactly what they're going to hear. So one of the best things you can do is look up those resources and encourage your friend to go to that. We'll be back with just a little bit more right here on the Bridge Loud.
You are not a man that you change your mind. This is not a plan where someday I'll find that you've given up. Run out of love, run out of patience with myself. You've made a mistake with the price that you've paid. You're moving on to someone else. Oh, oh, you chose me, you chased me. Never stops. No. keep up is your bottom line. No, you chose me.
This is Glenn from The Bridge Loud. Maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, none of this good news applies to me because I've made mistakes and I've got a record. Well, you know what? No problem. We work every day with people who have been and sometimes still are behind bars. We know how to work with that and we ain't scared. Email us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. That's thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We know you have struggles. We believe in you, and we want to help.
We're back here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King. I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
Let's just work this through. Make it work.
We've done two shows on work in a row, and I think we should all be very impressed that Glenn has not run out of work-related music references.
It's still working.
Also joining us, Jed Brewer.
Work.
Working.
Jed has his own unique brand of creativity he brings to the show. We are intending to answer a question that's about, as Jed so laconically put it, work. It came to thebridgeloud@gmail.com. It says, my friend is a recovering addict, and he works nonstop. He has three jobs. He says that he's afraid, and he'll just start using again if he stops help. Now, we've talked about the necessary for some fun. Glenn suggested going to a ball game, which I think is great. You get some popcorn, you can get a hot dog. You can put ketchup on it, you can put mustard on it. Be a little more adventurous. Put something a little different on it.
The secret sauce!
No doubt. And Glenn, as we've mentioned over the last couple of episodes, this is something you spent a lot of time working with addicts over the last couple of decades, and this thing of balance and fun and proportion specifically, and what are the kind of things you tell people?
Well, part of what we're working on there is a Christian ministry where we're telling people about God and trying to get use that to help them strengthen their way through that recovery. And part of it is recognizing that we have a way of going to our drug of choice as a way of coping and having balance and holding it all together. But we can shift into just doing that with work or with other relationships or whatever have you. It's about putting God in the spot where he fits. And God wants to be the glue in your life that holds these things together, the foundation that is built on. Work really can't do that for you. And I think you do yourself a disservice if you try and manage it that way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Jed, and how can we, again, help in that idea of painting that picture of what a healthy life looks like and what different roles these things play in it?
Well, if you want to paint a picture for your friend, if you want to set an example, then it's about setting an example. That's about you having some balance in your own life and not having things be wildly out of proportion in your own life. And as you do that, you can invite your friend to join you. You can have a backyard cookout and get your buddy over there to be a part of the cookout. You can go to the ball game and get your buddy to go with you to the ball game. There is people, you know, you've heard the old adage, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. And nobody responds to that. But people are watching your life, whether you think they are or not. If you're setting an example of a balanced life, people see that, they admire that, respect that, and then you can invite them to join you in that. And people, to the extent that they can, will want to do that, and it'll be good for them and good for you.
Absolutely right. One of the really good things about that for us and for the people listening is that does not mean having to do everything perfectly. There's not going to be a shining example of morality and Protestant work ethic. But that can be something as little as being the guy who organizes the ball game or whatever, because that is good for people. That is setting a healthy example in this way, and that's something everybody's capable of doing. We will see you next week right here on The Bridge Loud.
All right, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week on The Bridge Loud. And let us know, are you ready to join The Bridge Loud tribe? We know you've got talents. Maybe you can scream or play the guitar or make a super cool graphic. Love it. Reach out to us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com and tell us what you do. We want your talents and gifts as a part of The Bridge Loud, so don't be shy. Let us know, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I'm not a judge and I'm not the police. Father, I'm your child, you're the one who fools me. I'm not above any sinner I see. If you love them, same as how you love me, it's how you love me. There before the grace of God go I, cause there before is where I set me.